And as you sit, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We are almost finished with this wonderful epistle. And today again, we have some jewels of wonderful truth to consider that our God is giving us today. Before we hear the preaching of his word, let us go before him once again in prayer. Gracious God and heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would give us your spirit. We pray that you would teach us from the scriptures. Indeed, open our hearts and our minds that we would see Jesus and that we would know more and more and have more and more passion to do that which you call us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10 for context. There we read, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Well, the focus of the sermon today is going to be verses 11 through 13. My friends, as we consider those verses, I'd like to remind you that learning is very valuable in life. Growth in skills, expanding our knowledge, applying those things, helps us and others in a variety of ways. For those of us who are parents, I'm sure we have a common desire that our children would be lifelong learners. It's true that we all should desire to be such learners, regardless of what age and stage we are. Learning isn't something that should just happen in school and then we're done. No more, no need, I'm good. No, learning should happen every day of our lives, in every sphere of life. Learning goes beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic. It goes beyond the basics. It goes beyond the school of hard knocks. It goes beyond even the most specialized postdoctoral, highest degree level training that there could ever be. As Christians, we recognize and value the vital importance of spiritual growth and edification. And there's much learning to be done as we go through God's school of sanctification, as we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him in his word, as the Holy Spirit does what only he can do in teaching us the truth and opening our understanding to it and in giving us strength to walk in the truth and rightly apply it in our lives. This is the very thing God did in Paul. God turned Paul, a man who was once a great enemy of Christ and his church, into one of the greatest students of Christ we've ever seen. This student was called to be a teacher. Beyond that, he was called to be a preacher. He was called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in our text today, we see that he never stopped learning. He never stopped being a student. He had a hunger to learn from the living God. So having recognized the Spirit's work in the Philippians in regards to their care and generosity, Paul takes a moment to tell them about an important lesson that he's learned. In verses 11 and 12, we see Paul's contentment. In verse 13, we see the great source of Paul's strength. You know, Paul appreciated the saints' gifts. He enjoyed Epaphroditus, the bringer of those gifts. He enjoyed him being with Paul for a time. He cherished the people's love. However, Paul was mindful to point out that he hadn't been a demanding person who would only be pleasant or happy with his friends if they met his needs and he saw the fruit of their care. Though he was under house arrest, a place that one would expect to find him in a mindset of being unhappy and even perhaps in despair, Paul had a quite different point of view. Paul said that this was true because of what he had learned. And this learning wasn't just head knowledge, but the Greek word literally communicates that he learned by practice and experience. The God of peace was with him, and the peace of God had been given to him, and he developed a new habit of being content. And what a great virtue that is. Being content. Jeremiah Burroughs called Christian contentment a rare jewel. If you think about it, it is sadly very rare to meet people who say that they have enough. Most want more and more. And yet how precious and beautiful it is when we do find those people. And by God's grace, may contentment be common among us. This contentment, it literally means being satisfied, being content with one's lot. It's being at peace despite your circumstances. Paul was content with the little he had, and that satisfied him. He also depended upon the providence of God to provide for him from day to day, and that satisfied him. Remember David's words in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Given our natures, my friends, our hearts always want. They want something. Yet as we grasp more deeply that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. There is an ongoing adjustment of our attitude and outlook with our external circumstances. Whatever is happening in our lives day by day, he is leading us. He is guiding us. He's comforting us. He's providing for all of our needs. The green pasture, the still waters, the restoration of our souls. And understanding this, we know that our internal well-being, our sense of comfort, our sense of peace isn't dependent on the things, the circumstances, the relationships even that go up and down, good and bad. That sense of peace and comfort comes from something else, regardless of the state that we're in. It comes from the hand of the Good Shepherd. And it is truly the work of His Spirit. And it is something that we are taught. It is something that we have to learn. And it is something that He is ever so gracious and merciful to teach us. And so the importance of being good students of contentment isn't only set forth from divine command, but we must also be mindful of great dangers in being discontent. First and foremost, it treasures self instead of Christ, and therefore pridefully declares to Him who willingly paid for our sins on the cross. It declares to Him, "Sorry, Lord, but You're just not enough for me. I want more." Discontentment unsettles you, and it seeks to rob you of peace. It easily unravels and ruins relationships and leads you down a path of disobedience and sin. In our minds, it makes those we love into competition for what we want. Greed, envy, jealousy, and covetousness all breed off of our discontentment. Consider what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. He says, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced them through with many sorrows." Godliness is itself great gain. And here's the thing. Wherever there is true godliness, there will be contentment. As we daily put our faith into practice and pursue living a holy life, we will be content. Now, whereas some may have thought that Paul was boasting as he talked about his learning and that he did so by his own strength, he made the truth crystal clear by telling them whose strength he did anything by. In verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, this verse has often been misinterpreted and applied. It isn't a statement of confidence in oneself, but rather it is a statement pointing to the sufficiency of Christ. No matter what is going on in our lives, we are in Christ, and He is enough. So what's the secret to contentment? Well, this leads directly into that. To know Christ, but to press on to know Him more in all areas of life. That's part of the secret. When we know Him and press on to know Him better, we rest in His providence and provision, and we follow His call for us, not seeking our own agenda, but being content with His. John Calvin, I think, commented rightly when he said, "Thus it is that we may patiently pass through this life with its misery, hunger, cold, contempt, reproaches, and other troubles, content with this one thing, that our King will never leave us destitute, but will provide for our needs until our warfare ended We are called to triumph. Your Savior is with you, beloved. He's providing for all of your needs. He takes away all your wants. He comforts your heart. He heals your wounds. And so contentment now is but a taste of that that we will have for all eternity in heaven. So how does God grow us to be content in all situations? For indeed, that's what Paul said. Paul said he was content, whether he abounded or whether he was abased, he was content. Well, we need to find our sufficiency. We need to find our satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to find our contentment in the work of Christ's grace in us. Jesus continues to give us strength each and every day. He sustains us. Without him, we are nothing. And we need his strength to teach us to be content in every situation. We can all attest that our own strength leads us to be discontent. And so such contentment must come through the strength of another. And Christ teaches us to be diligent in our obedience as well as in peace with his providence. He teaches us that our contentment isn't measured by abundance, but in being in the constant practice of remembering that all things are according to his will for our good and for his good pleasure and glory. Whether we have much, whether we have little, we're content. And therefore, with this understanding and satisfaction in him, we can be content no matter what comes our way. So let me ask you, do you find yourself diligent in study and contentment? Or do you find yourself struggling? There are many situations in life that seemingly take us to the edge every week, sometimes every day. It isn't hard to be seriously challenged and tempted in this area. We live in a world that breeds and bathes in being discontent. It seems that many people want to be discontent. Being satisfied, being at peace are extremely short-lived, are for the wrong reasons, and are pursued in the wrong ways. However, we serve a marvelous God who provides the clear path, the right perspective in Christ, that we would truly and sincerely be content, that we would truly know and be satisfied by Jesus, knowing that it is by his strength that we do so. But be content. Be truly satisfied in all situations and occasions. Parents, train your children to be content. Children, learn from your parents' instruction. Whining and complaining and griping and moaning are all things that display a heart that is discontent. We all need to pursue contentment, which will lead to happier, God-honoring homes. And whether you have little or you have much, trust in the Lord and have peace and patience in his love and providence. Indeed, may God grant us grace to do these things for the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.